I never want you to leave without having something to think about. And sometimes we don't always remember or put the emphasis on things that we really should be. So today I wanted to talk to you about the value of the blessing. This is the blessing of God, the blessing that God put upon us from the very beginning. And so we want to understand the value of the blessing, because if we don't understand it, then we discredit it and we put it to the side and we don't start to remember what God did for us and how incredible and how powerful it was. And so we have to start to look and see, what is this blessing that God has given us? What is it all about? And the blessing of God, I mean, the most we start to think about blessing today, and I wanted to tell you that when you have the blessing of God, you also have the ability to bless. You have the power to be a blessing and bless others in your life. And so this is something that's very important to remember. But most of the times today, we only say bless you when someone sneezes. In fact, I heard a report this week, there was a girl in school, and I don't know whether it was just social media hype or it actually was something that happened, but nevertheless, it was a disturbing thing to hear. And this girl, and somebody sneezed in her class, and she said, bless you, and she was suspended from school for God talk in the class. And I believe in this country we have the right to say what we want to say. And at the very least, we should never let them stop us from being a blessing. Amen. We can never let them stop us from being in a blessing. And of course, those who are not with God will try to stop the blessing in it coming into someone's life, because it can change and transform lives in an incredible way. But we cannot let them stop us from being a blessing. And we cannot let them stop us from saying, be blessed. We want to be blessed and highly favored and be sharing it everywhere we go. Do not fear anything, because the first thing we need to know about the blessing is the blessing of God protects you. The blessing of God is your protection. It watches over you. Remember, Abraham received the blessing from God. By believing God and following him to a land of promise, he had received this blessing from God. The blessing of God was now upon Abraham, and Abraham was protected. He wasn't a very big group to start with. He didn't have powerful and strong armies. And when a bunch of kings kidnapped his nephew with powerful armies, they took his nephew Lot away, he went after them. He had no soldiers. He had 300 servants with him. Not equipped, not trained soldiers. But here they go, and they battle against these kings, and they defeat them, and they get Lot, and they return Lot and his family and everybody else. Why? Because the blessing of God makes us strong. It protected Abraham. It protected his family. It protected all of those servants that were out there fighting. They weren't trained men, but they were up against armies of trained men with greater numbers than they, far greater numbers than they, and they still won. That's what the blessing of God does. It gives us victory in our life.
Amen.
The blessing of God gives you victory over all situations. Know the value of the blessing, because it gives us protection and it gives us increase also. Abraham was a man who everywhere he went with the blessing of God went with him everywhere he went. It never was off of him. There was always increase in his life. He increased in great ways. And so he became richer and richer and richer. And it didn't matter if he was doing something that seemed like it would make him rich, or maybe he was even making mistakes. I remember this one time, the king of Egypt, Pharaoh, wanted to take his wife, Abraham's wife. Now, he didn't know it was his wife. He thought it was his sister. And so the king admired her, liked her, said, I'm going to take her as a wife. And he gave her, and Moses lied about Moses. Where did Moses come from? Abraham lied about it. He said, oh, she's my sister, because he was worried about getting killed. And so Pharaoh gives him a large dowry. All these animals and riches now came into Abraham's household. And of course, the blessing of God also protected Abraham's wife Sarah and returned her back to him, you know, so that now he not only had his wife back, He also had all these riches and increase, and he was able to leave there. He did not lose his life. In fact, he gained in everything. He gained in stature. He gained in prosperity. He gained in happiness. And here, by all accounts, it looks like maybe he did not do the right thing by lying. But that's beside the point. The blessing of God is protecting and increasing and prospering us in all ways. Let's think about the blessing for a moment, because what is the blessing of God? What does that really mean? Now, we still have the tradition often where when someone's getting married, quite often the man will go to the parents of the bride and ask, can I have your blessing? Right? And so the parents will say, yes, I give you my blessing. Getting their blessings, getting their permission. You know, it's getting the okay that you can do this. That means when God first created us, he said, be blessed. He said, I give you my permission. He said more than that. He said, I give you my authority. So when he's saying, be blessed, he's saying, my authority is upon you in all ways. And so he said, be blessed, and now the authority is upon us. That means we can go out and do things because that blessing is giving us the authority. It gives us the right to go and do things for God, with God, greater things to overcome, to have dominion, to have authority in all ways. This is the value of the blessing that we have. So remember that. We've got permission when we've got the blessing. So the blessing of God is upon us. And as I was saying, when we have his permission, now we have his presence as well. So the presence of God is now upon you. So you have the presence of God on you now. So wherever you go, God is with you. This is one of the things, this is why it's said with Abraham, God is with you in all things, because that blessing was upon him. Now, in the early times, I believe people understood the value of the blessing and the importance of the blessing. And because Abraham had it, he was like a gift and a possession that he had, and that was to go to the firstborn. And for Abraham, he only had Isaac. So this is where he passed it down. So when Isaac became of age and it was time, now Abraham passed the blessing. He gave the blessing as an inheritance. He gives it to Isaac. So Isaac receives the blessing from Abraham. Isaac wants the blessing. He has seen what the blessing of God has done in Abraham's life. He has seen how he has prospered, how he was always victorious, always protected, always in good health. I mean, here's something else about the blessing I didn't mention, but why was the king of Pharaoh attracted and wanting to marry Abraham's wife Sarah when she was almost 70 years old? Yeah. Why? I mean, what's going on there? He's the king of Egypt. He could have anybody. He could have whatever woman he wants, and here he's attracted to Abraham's wife. Why? Because it's the blessing of God upon him. The blessing of God is upon Abraham and upon his family and upon his house. So what's it doing? People are often looking for anti-aging remedies. How can we get anti-aging? How can we look younger? How can we stay looking younger longer? I'd like to look young all the time. Well, here we have found that secret in the blessing of God. That is one of the values of it. Oh, people love that one. This is the anti-aging secret, the blessing of God. That is one of the values of it. And we see that it created longevity in both Abraham and Sarah, because Sarah looks good. Sarah looks so good that at the age of 70, the king of Egypt needs to have her as his wife. That's how good she looks, when he could have chosen anybody. And it created that longevity in the fact that also when Abraham was 100 and Sarah was 90, that's when they finally gave birth to Isaac. Again, that longevity, that anti-aging, that comes with the blessing. So we got to know the value of the blessing. Now, when Isaac's time came, Isaac receives this blessing. He also increases. He's also protected. He's protected against everything that takes place. So even when famine falls upon the land and everybody's starving, it doesn't affect Isaac. Why? Because the blessing of God is upon him. He has the presence of God with him when he has the blessing. He has the permission of God because he received God's blessing to do it. So he has this authority that's upon him. So now that there's a drought in the land, it has no power over Isaac. He has power over it. And he is told by God to plant at that time of famine. Great famine in the land. The earth is dry as dust. And here God tells him to plant. And so he sows his seeds in the field. And when harvest time comes, there is a harvest a hundredfold. Hundredfold increase in a harvest. That is a great harvest even in a good year. Even in a perfect year, that is a huge harvest. But here, Isaac receives it. Why? Because the blessing of God is upon him. The presence of God is upon him. That permission of God is upon him. He has authority over things. He is protected. He is protected from drought. He is protected from starvation. He is protected from enemies. And he keeps increasing in prosperity in all ways. This is the value of the blessing. He continues to increase. And so Isaac gets to the point where he's the richest man in the world at that time. He has increased so much. And now he passes the blessing when it comes time. He has two sons, though. Now, in that tradition, the Jewish tradition at that time, it was the eldest that always was given the inheritance. And they called that the birthright. And now Esau is the older son. These were twins, Esau and Jacob. But they were only a few minutes apart, and they weren't identical by any stretch of the imagination, because they describe Esau as having red hair and being very hairy, and they describe, and yeah, he's a big guy who likes to go out into the wilderness and hunt. And then they describe Jacob as kind of he's more of a soft kind of guy. He's kind of gentle. They call him smooth skin, I think they describe him as, you know. So these guys are quite different. They're not identical at all. And Esau is the older brother, so he's the one that gets the birthright. And it talks about at one point he comes in from hunting and he's so hungry that he trades his birthright for a pot of stew that Jacob has made. And at first I'm thinking, wow, this is really a foolish move that he would trade his birthright. But as I was talking to God about this, he started to explain to me just recently, just in the last couple of days, he started to tell me the birthright that Esau traded was all of the possessions that he would receive as an inheritance. So all the things that Isaac had automatically became his birthright because he was the eldest. So all of the cattle and all of the money and all of the riches and all of that stuff was what Esau traded for the bowl of stew. And you might think, well, why would he do that? Doesn't make any sense. Sure, he was hungry. But I believe that Esau knew the value of the blessing, because he did not trade the blessing of God. He traded all the physical possessions, because he knew if he has the blessing of God, what is the blessing of God going to do in his life? It's going to increase him. It's going to give him more prosperity. It's going to give him more cattle, more goats, more sheep. It's going to give him more riches. He can trade it for a bowl of stew, because that is not what's valuable. And so when it came time that Isaac needs to pass along the blessing of God, this inheritance, which he also is planning to give to the eldest, to give to Esau, suddenly there's a battle going on here, because Jacob also wants that blessing. In fact, he knows how important this blessing is, and his mother knows how important it is, so much so that they're willing to deceive Isaac the father to give Jacob the blessing. So Esau has gone out into the field because his father asked him, go out, get me a deer, bring it back, prepare it the way I like it, and come in, and then I'm going to give you the blessing of God. It will be bestowed upon you because you're the eldest, and I'm ready to give that to you. And while he's out hunting, Jacob and his mother decide, hey, you need to get this blessing on you. You need to get this blessing from God, from Isaac, you know, that God has bestowed upon him. And so Jacob now has to put on a sheepskin. This is what he's willing to do to get this blessing. This is how important it is. He puts on this sheepskin because he has to feel furry like his brother. He must have been really furry. I gotta tell you. And he put on some of Esau's clothes so he would smell kind of like the outdoors. I don't know what this guy's not washing his clothes or what. Now he goes into the tent. And he lets his father Isaac feel his arm, and it feels furry enough, and he smells him. He's like, yeah, that's you, Esau, because Isaac had, his sight had grown dim in his old age, and so he couldn't see very well. And so he now thinks he's got Esau in the tent when he's got Jacob, and he gives this blessing that God has bestowed upon him through Abraham. He gives this blessing to Jacob, and Jacob receives the blessing and goes out of the tent. And a little while later, Esau comes in and says, okay, father, I'm ready. I got the deer. I prepared the meat. Give me the blessing. And he says, what are you talking about? I've already given you the blessing. And now he realizes, uh-oh, I gave the blessing to your brother. And he's very upset. Esau is extremely upset. He wants to kill Jacob. Now, he wasn't upset when he gave the birthright of all the... This is the richest man in the world, Isaac. And Esau is the son who's going to receive that inheritance. And he traded all that for a bowl of stew. And it didn't bother him. Oh, well, bowl of stew. I'm good. I feel good now. And he traded it away. But here, the blessing of God is taken from him. And he is upset. He vows to go get him. I'm going to kill him. We're going to get this guy because he stole my blessing, the blessing of God. See, Esau understands. He understands the difference between physical possessions, which were his birthright, and the blessing of God. And he understands that the value of this blessing being on you protects you from your enemy, protects you from starvation and famine, protects you from sickness and old age. It protects you from all these things. Esau understands this is important. I gotta have this. And obviously his brother Jacob also understood. This is important. I've got to have this. I've got to get this. And he was willing to do anything to get this blessing. He was willing to dress up like a sheep and go into his father's tent smelling funny so that he could get the blessing upon him. Thankfully today, we don't have to wait for our fathers to give us that blessing because God has created a better way. We're not waiting for only one person to receive the blessing. Now we can all receive the blessing. We can all receive the blessing of God through Jesus because he made it a more perfect blessing that once we receive him, now the Spirit of God is with us. The same as it said with Abraham, God is with him in all things. We have the Spirit of God with us, meaning the blessing of God is upon us. God's will from the very beginning was for us to be blessed. He wanted to bless us. He wanted us to be highly favored. He said, be blessed, multiply, be fruitful. And this is what he was passing down to Abraham, and it was being passed down. As long as they were passing it down, they were okay. They were protected from anything. They were protected and always taken care of. It's when they forgot about the importance of the blessing. Remember once Joseph with the coat of many colors, once he brought his father and their tribe, the tribe that was trusting in the blessing of God, once he brought them into Egypt and a few generations passed, and now they forgot about the blessing. They forgot about the power of God. They forgot about God's protection. They forgot about everything that comes with that blessing. Now suddenly they fell into slavery. Suddenly they fell under the hand of the Egyptians. And now they were being controlled in that land. And now they started to cry out being in this place of bondage, you know, and it happened. Why? Because they forgot about the power of the blessing. When they had the understanding of the value of the blessing and its power, it lifted them up, always protected them, always took care of them. God was always with them in all ways. Let's take a look at something here, because I want to talk about us now and what Jesus had done for us. This is Colossians verse 13, and this is Paul writing, and he says, he's talking about Jesus, he has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. So this is God saying this, or he's talking about God. We have been delivered from the power of darkness, and we've been put into the kingdom of heaven, conveyed the Son of his love. We're talking about Jesus there, the Son of his love. So we have been delivered out of the darkness. This is the thing, is if we are... There's two sides here, and there's no politically correct middle ground or safe zone you can stand in, Because quite often today, people want to take a position where they don't choose a side, we're politically correct, I love everybody. The thing is, in the kingdom of God and in the spiritual realm and in this world, there's either one side or the other. You can't be in a middle ground. So you're either with the blessing of God and under the blessing of God, or you're in the curse, under the curse. Remember, the curse came upon, what is the curse? The curse is that God is not there with you. That's the curse. The minute Adam stepped out of the will of God and began to try to do his own thing, him and Eve said, well, let's do this on our own. They stepped out of the blessing. They stepped out of the presence of God and into their own decision making. I'm going to do this thing for myself. And they're now under a curse. Why? Because now they got to figure out how to make things happen. They got to figure out how to protect themselves. They got to try to, you know, make sure they stay healthy and stay young and all that stuff. And it's a lot of work and you can't do it. And this is the curse. And this is where they stepped. And so from that time, God wanted to get us back into the blessing. That's why he was bringing the blessing to certain people who were faithful to him, like Abraham, like Noah, like Joseph. He was bringing this blessing down upon them. It speaks here about Jesus because Jesus delivered us, gave us all the opportunity because he delivered us out of the power of darkness, out from under the curse, out from being out there on our own trying to make it. He brought us back. He reconciled us with God, meaning we're one with God again, meaning God is with us in all things that we do. We now have that power and presence of God with us so that we are blessed. The blessing of God is upon us. Yes, amen to this. Amen. And this is what happens when we receive Jesus into our heart. But there's no middle ground there. You can't be under the blessing and under the curse. And sometimes people want to speak blessing over somebody and also speak a curse. In fact, even here, this is interesting what it says in James 3, verse 10. Obviously, James wrote this. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things not ought to be so. Does a spring set forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening? Can a fig tree, my brother, bear olives and grape vines bear figs? Thus no spring yields both salt water and fresh. So he's saying that, you know, we shouldn't be speaking. If we're under the blessing, we shouldn't be speaking both blessing and cursing. And yet, unfortunately, it's become trendy that, you know, to use, you know, foul language and cursing. We use the F word everywhere. We're effing this and we're effing that and we're effing up and we're effing down. We're effing in and we're effing out. If we're under the blessing, we shouldn't be cursing. We can't be on both sides. And when you start to speak one thing, now you're not under the blessing anymore. You have just moved yourself out of a different place. So you can't be receiving that blessing that God has. So we want to bring, as he says here, this shouldn't be happening. We shouldn't be both blessing and cursing. If we want to be a blessing, then we want to be letting the words of life speak life. We were just singing about that earlier. Speak life. And so we want to speak life over everything. Let the words of life flow from your mouth, meaning you are blessing everyone. You know, and this is an important factor because quite often we will bless. We'll say, oh, bless God. God's taking care of me. Oh, bless my family. Oh, I hate that guy over there. I hope somebody curses him. Jesus said, love your enemies. And he was saying that because he wanted us to stay under the blessing. He wanted us to stay in alignment with that. He wanted us to continue receiving more and more blessing upon us. And we can't speak like what James is talking about here, where we're blessing and cursing. We need to also be saying, God, bless that guy across the street. I know I've got issues with him, but help me with that, you know, but bless him. Send your blessing, send your love, send your goodness over there. And that's why Jesus was saying, love your enemies. You know, and so what's cool and trendy sometimes in the world isn't in alignment with what God is saying. And we want to get our speech, we want to get ourselves in alignment with that so that we can be like Abraham. Abraham is increasing. Abraham is young looking. Abraham, he's defying age, you know, all the time and continually protected no matter what comes against him. And it's because he has the blessing and understands the value of the blessing and knows that this is valuable and I need to keep speaking the blessing. I need to keep sharing that blessing. This is where we want to be in our lives too. You want to be sharing that blessing. You want to be speaking blessing over whoever it is that comes across your path. Speak the blessing over them. The good thing is now that we have received Jesus and been delivered out of the darkness, we can now bless others. You can bless other people, and you can send out that blessing upon them so that they can also receive the Spirit of God with them. You can do that. You have that power is upon you, that when you bless other people, that they receive Jesus, they receive the Spirit of God, now they have all the same benefits. They now start to receive what the value of the blessing is, because they can look younger now. They can feel stronger. They can have more peace in their life. They are protected. You know, no matter what comes against them, they are victorious. This is the value of the blessing in our lives. And so we want to understand that this is something you want to do when you go out in the world. You are to bless other people. You are to take that blessing out there, proclaim it over them, and only let your words be a blessing. Don't be as James is saying here, where your mouth is both blessing and cursing. You don't want that. You don't want to do that at all. Now, here we talk in Deuteronomy 30 and 19. Let's just read this. I call heaven and earth as a witness today against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life that both you and your descendants may live. So, he said this a long time ago, God did, but he set before us blessing and cursing, life and death. Which one do you want to choose? If you choose to be under the blessing, now you get to receive all those benefits and all that value that God has given you. If you choose to be under the curse or death, I don't know who's going to choose that, you know, but maybe somebody's choosing without knowing it. That's why we got to know what's under this blessing. You know, it says in Deuteronomy 28, this is an interesting one because God, and hopefully you've read this at some point, because God talks about all the things that are, you know, are blessed in your life. And he talks about you being blessed when you go out and blessed when you come in. He talks about your kneading bowl being blessed, meaning where, and your bread being blessed. So where you're making food, your kitchen is blessed. He's talking about the blessing be upon you in all ways. And that's the kind of blessing that God has given us. That hasn't changed. We still have that blessing upon us. Say amen to that.
Amen.
And that's what we want to receive. But it also talks about in Deuteronomy 28, it also talks about the curse. And it talks about that if we choose death, then we're going to be cursed going out, cursed going coming in. Our kneading bowl is going to be cursed. Our bread's going to be cursed. Meaning what we eat is going to be cursed. But we don't have that because we received Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
We have the protection of God upon us. We have the light of God upon us. We have the goodness of God upon us. The blessing brings health, prosperity, peace, love, power, and authority. All your needs are provided for under the blessing. God is with you. You are victorious over all things with the blessing. Say amen to that. And that's the power that God is bringing into our life. When you have the blessing, understand, never forget how valuable God's blessing is in your life. It has been put upon you. Now stay in it. Continue to enjoy it. Revel in it. Begin to understand the full capacity of everything that God has given you. Because he has given you all good things that he has. And he only has good things. So he's given you everything. And he has poured out upon your life. Say amen to that.
Amen.
Amen.